السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابه الأمين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Welcome everyone to our latest session. I think it's the 9th, 10th session, forgive me. We will be covering the chapter on Salah today. Last week we covered the chapter or the section on Ghusl. I think, you know, on Ghusl and Wudu, on Wudu, yeah. And today we will be covering the section on the Salah. بإذن الله تعالى. So we will get on with doing that now. Let me just share the screen. Okay, so here we have the screen. So the learned author says in this edition, a prayer, Salat, Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that the Messenger of Allah, Allah bless him and give him peace, said, prayer is light. Jabir, Allah be pleased with him, relates that the Prophet, Allah bless him and give him peace, said, the example of the five obligatory prayers is like a fast stream running in front of the houses of one of you in which he bathes five times daily. When asked about the best of works, the Prophet, Allah bless him and give him peace, replied, prayer at its time. The outward validity of the prayer depends on the fulfillment of this obligatory condition, its soundness and propriety on the fulfillment of its necessary and sunnah action. The inward reality of prayer is to sincerely turn to Allah in reverence and submission with presence of heart and mind. The obligatory actions in the prayer are 12. 7 are outside the prayer and are called conditions. 5 are inside the prayer and are called intervals. So the conditions of the prayer. The conditions of the prayer for the validity of the prayer are the following. Being in a state of ritual purity, that one's clothes, body, and place of prayer be free of filth, najasa, beyond the excused amount. Clothing one's nakedness. For the male, this is from the navel down to and including the knees. For the female, it is her entire body, except her face, her hands up to the wrists, and her feet below the ankles. Facing the Qibla, direction of the Kaaba in Mecca. 5, knowing and believing that the prayer time has entered. 6, making an intention before beginning the prayer. Number 7, pronouncing the opening invocation, takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. In the obligatory prayers, this must be done standing, if one is able to stand without genuine hardship. The integrals, arkan of the prayer. The integrals of the prayer are, number 1, standing, for those able to stand in obligatory prayers. The minimum standing position is such that if one were to extend one's arm, it would not reach the knees. Reciting at least the equivalent of a verse of the Quran, whether long or short, it must be noted that it is prohibitively disliked, makruh, tahliman, and sinful for the follower to recite behind the imam, both in loud and silent prayers. Bowing, number 3, bowing or rukur, such that if one were to extend one's arms, they would reach the knees. Prostrating, sujood. Number 5, the final sitting, long enough to recite the tashahud. The necessary, wajib actions of the prayer. The necessary actions are, 1, reciting the Fatiha, opening surah of the Quran, in any 2 rak'ahs of obligatory prayer and in all rak'ahs of supererogatory and witr prayers. Reciting another surah or the equivalent of 3 short verses in 2 rak'ahs of the obligatory prayer. Number four, making two successive prostrations in each rak'ah. Number five, remaining motionless in the bowing and prostration for at least a moment. Sitting after two rak'ahs in a three or four rak'ah prayer long enough to be able to recite the tashahhud. Seven, reciting the tashahhud itself in the first sitting and at the end of the prayer. Saying salam twice at the end of the prayer, adding alaykum wa rahmatullah, is a conferred sunnah, as is turning the head to the right for the first salam and to the left for the second. The takbirs of the two Eid prayers, three in each rak'ah. Number 10, reciting quietly in the dhuhr, noon and asr, mid-afternoon prayers. The minimal valid silent recitation requires that one that one pronounce the words such that one can hear oneself. The follower does not recite Qur'an in group prayers, regardless of whether the imam is reciting aloud or not, though he does say all of the invocations and supplications of the prayer. Number 11, for the imam to recite aloud in the Fajr, dawn, Maghrib, sunset, and Isha, evening prayers. The one praying alone has the choice of reciting aloud or quietly, as in the supererogatory night prayers. Performing the prayer. For the prayer to be valid, certain conditions have to be met. Before one starts, one must be in a state of ritual purity, whether through the ritual bath or ritual ablution. Two, ensure purity of body, clothing, and place of prayer. Three, cover one's nakedness. Four, face the Qibla. Five, ensure that the time of prayer is entered. Six, intend the specific prayer that one is performing and intend following the imam if praying in congregation. A complete description of the prayer. Number one, stand with your feet slightly apart and utter the opening invocation. This is obligatory. It is necessary, wajib, to say Allahu Akbar. This invocation, Allahu Akbar, is repeated without raising the hands with each movement of the prayer, except when rising from the bowing or rukua. The one leading others utters it aloud. It is recommended to keep one's gaze lowered throughout the prayer in order to avoid distraction. When standing, this entails looking at your place of prostration. Raise your hands until level with the ears for men and to the shoulders for women, just before uttering the opening invocation, keeping the head upright throughout, and lower the hands as one pronounces the invocation. It is recommended to keep one's hands normally open, with the palms facing the Qibla. Place your right hand over your left hand, under the navel for men and on the chest for women. In the first rak'ah only, quietly recite the opening supplication, thana. Seek refuge from the devil, ta'awudh, quietly in the first rak'ah alone, if reciting the Qur'an in prayer. The one leading others and the one praying alone do so as they must recite. When praying in congregation, do not recite this, as one does not recite the Qur'an behind the imam, unless one has missed one or more rak'ahs, in which case one recites this when one gets up to make up the rak'ahs that are missed. Number six, recite at least one verse of the Qur'an when leading others or praying alone. This is obligatory. When praying behind an imam, one does not recite any Qur'an, not even the Fatiha, in both loud and quiet prayers. It is necessary, wajib, for the one reciting to recite the Fatiha in two rak'ahs of obligatory prayers and in all rak'ahs of other prayers. Recite at least the equivalent of three short verses of the Qur'an in two rak'ahs of obligatory prayers and in all rak'ahs of other prayers, and to make the above recitation of the Fatiha and verses of the Qur'an in the first two rak'ahs of obligatory prayers. Number seven, when leading others, recite quietly in the dhuhr and asr prayers, the last two rak'ahs of the Isha prayer and the last rak'ah of the Maghrib prayer, and loudly in the first two rak'ahs. Number eight, recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim quietly before the Fatiha and say Ameen quietly after the Fatiha. Bow. Number nine, bow. This is obligatory. Minimum bowing is that one's outstretched hands reaches one's knees. It is necessary, wajib, to remain motionless therein, at least for a moment. It is sunnah for women to bend until just able to reach the knees without spreading their fingers. It is sunnah for men to grip their knees with their fingers spread out and pointing down. Keeping legs and back straight and the head level with the lower back, it is recommended to keep one's gaze on the top of one's feet. Number 10, recite the invocation of bowing three times. This is to say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, glory be to my tremendous Lord. 11, stand after the bowing. This is necessary, wajib, as is remaining motionless for a moment. It is sunnah to say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Allah hears those who praise him, as you begin rising from bowing. If leading others or praying alone, followers do not say this. This is followed by Rabbana lakal hamd, our Lord, yours is all praise, which is said silently by the one following or praying alone. The imam may choose to say it silently as well. Number 12, prostrate. This is obligatory. It is necessary that one make sure to place most of one's forehead on the ground and also the nose, both hands, knees, and at least one toe of each foot. It is also necessary to remain motionless therein for at least a moment. It is sunnah to say Allahu Akbar as one begins to descend into prostration, to place one's knees on the ground first, then hands, and then the face and nose. It is recommended for men to have their hands and head level in prostration, and for women to have them at shoulder level. It is sunnah for men to separate their abdomen from their thighs, elbows from their sides, and forearms from the ground. Women do the opposite by keeping the abdomen close to their thighs, elbows close to the sides, and forearms on the ground while keeping as low as comfortably possible. It is recommended to gaze towards the tips of the nose. Number 13, recite the invocation of the prostration three times, saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to my exalted Lord. This is a highly emphasized sunnah. Number 14, after prostrating, sit up. It is minimally obligatory to raise the head from the prostration and necessary to sit up such that you are closer to sitting than to prostration while remaining motionless for at least a moment. The sunnah is for men to sit on their left foot with the right foot propped up on the toes, which face the direction of prayer. Women sit on their left buttock with right thigh on the left thigh, and both feet coming out from the right side. It is sunnah to place the hands on the thighs with the tips of the fingers ending at the beginning of the knee without bending. It is recommended to keep your gaze on the thighs. Prostrate, number 15, prostrate a second time as before. This is also obligatory for each rak'ah. Number 16, stand from prostration for the next rak'ah. This is obligatory. It is sunnah to raise one's face first, then hands and the knees. Rise on the tips of your toes without sitting after the prostration and without support of one's hands unless out of physical need. Number 17, the subsequent rak'ah are the same as the first, except that one does not raise one's hands. One does not recite the opening supplication, nor does one seek refuge from the devil. Number 18, after the two prostrations of the second rak'ah, sit for the first sitting, as described above. This is necessary, wajib. It is also necessary to recite the testification of faith, tashahud. It is sunnah to clasp one's fingers when reciting ashadu an la ilaha with the thumb on the side of one's middle finger and to raise the index finger and lower the index finger when saying illallah. Stand, as explained above, for the third and fourth rak'ah in the Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha prayers, and only the third rak'ah in the Maghrib prayer. It is necessary, wajib, to stand up without undue delay after reciting the testification of faith, tashahud. 20. All actions in the third and fourth rak'ahs are the same as the first two rak'ah. It is a sunnah to recite the Fatiha or to say Subhanallah three times in obligatory prayers when standing. In other prayers, it is necessary, wajib, to recite both the Fatiha and the equivalent of three short verses. Number 21, after prostrations in one's final rak'ah, it is obligatory to sit for the final sitting and extent of reciting the testification of faith, tashahhud. Normally, it is necessary to actually recite the testification of faith completely. It is sunnah to raise the finger. Number 22, after this, send blessings on the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, by reciting the Salatul Ibrahimiyyah. Before giving the final salams, it is sunnah to supplicate. Any short supplication fulfills the sunnah, though it is best to choose a supplication from the Quran or sunnah. Number 24, end the prayer by giving salams twice. This is necessary, wajib. The sunnah is to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah twice, while turning the head only to the right for the first and to the left for the second, intending to greet those in prayer with one, even when alone, while specifying the imam in one's salams and the direction he is in. It is recommended to turn such that either cheek is pointing back and to look at the shoulders each time. The actions disliked makruh in the prayer. The general principles are that excessive movement invalidates the prayer. Fidgeting is prohibitively disliked, makruh tahriman. Slight action or movement not of the prayer is somewhat disliked, unless it is for a good reason or in the interest of the prayer. Omitting a necessary wajib action is prohibitively disliked, makruh tahriman. Leaving a confirmed sunnah is somewhat disliked, makruh tanzihan, and blameworthy. Actions disliked in prayer are... praying in clothes one would not wear in front of respectable people without excuse. Praying in clothes with images of human or animal life is prohibitively disliked unless the image is very small, such that it is placed on the floor, the features... such that if it was placed on the floor, the features would not be distinctly apparent. Yawning or stretching in the prayer. Praying in a garment one places on one's shoulders without entering the hands in its sleeves. Closing one's eyes unless it helps one's attentiveness, in which case it may even be preferred. A man praying with his head uncovered. Pointing one's toes away from the Qibla in the prostration and sitting. Praying while having to relieve oneself is prohibitively disliked. If one feels a definite need to go to the toilet or pass wind during the prayer, it is necessary to break the prayer unless one fears the time of prayer will end. Not placing both feet on the ground during prostration is prohibitively disliked, as placing the toes of one foot is obligatory and placing the toes of both feet, if only for a moment, is necessary. Reciting behind the imam. Reciting behind the imam is prohibitively disliked in any group prayer, whether loud or quiet. Number 11, prostrating with one's forehead covered without excuse. Raising one's hands when bowing or when standing upright after bowing. Praying with one's forearms or shoulders uncovered. Actions that invalidate the prayer. The prayer is invalidated by, number one, any excessive movement. Excessive movements which invalidate the prayer are those that make an onlooker who is unaware that the person is praying think that they are not in the prayer. Eating and drinking are both considered excessive actions. Number two, speaking with a letter that conveys a meaning or two letters of human speech, regardless of whether it's accidental, intentional, or unintentional. Moaning by saying ah or the like, or crying audibly out of remorse or pain. However, if it is out of remembrance of heaven or hell, or pain that is unbearable, it does not affect the prayer. Coughing without need, moving the chest completely away from the direction of Qibla without necessity, reciting from a copy of the Quran, making a grave and an inexcusable mistake in the recitation that grossly changes the meaning. So that was the text of the essentials of the Salah we just read. Much of it is straightforward. Let me just get back to the conditions. Much of it is straightforward. There really isn't not really much details that can be added on these, except perhaps some areas where I may add some additional information. So being in a state of ritual purity, so one has to either be, one has to perform ghusl, or of course, one needs the wudu to pray. What's the point on here? Number two, that one's clothes, body, and place of prayer be free of filth, najasa, beyond the excused amount. An excused amount is often considered to be the excused amount can be either one quarter of the size of the limb or the garment or one quarter of the size of the area of the garment that contains the impurity, or it could be one quarter of the size of the human body, the person's body. There are differences of opinion about the exact excused amount. What else? Clothing one's nakedness, so one's aura has to be covered with whatever one can when they pray. There's facing the Qibla. So if you're in Mecca al-Mukarramah, or if you're in front of the Kaaba, you just have to face the Qibla. Otherwise, we have to face the Jihad al-Qibla, the direction of al-Kaaba al-Musharrafa. Yeah? So we have to try our best to face the Qibla, and there's some latitude about 45 degrees either way. So if we're not facing the Kaaba directly, then we have to face the direction of the Kaaba Musharraf. So anything else that needs to be mentioned here? Not really. Making an intention before beginning the Salah, that's fine. And then the mahallu niyya, the place of the intention, of course, is in the heart. Let me just see where integrals at arkan of the salah. Yeah, standing for those able. That's and so we've got reciting at least the equivalent of a verse of the Qur'an. Yeah, that's fine. Bowing ruku', such that if one were to extend one's arms and reach the knees. Reciting the Fatiha, yeah, that's fine. There's two other points here I wanted to mention. Here, remaining motionless in the bowing and prostration for at least a moment. A moment to say Subhanallah. So some people say Subhanallah. Takes about a couple of seconds. So once we bow, and then we come up from the bowing. So if we're bowing, let's say that's the bowing position, and we come up from the bowing. Then motionless, at least for the length of saying Subhanallah once, with the limbs all resting. And now, so on number 10, reciting quietly the Dhuhr and Asr prayer, so this number. Reciting quietly in the Dhuhr prayer, which means one recites to oneself. The minimal valid silent recitation requires that one pronounce the words such that one can hear oneself. Also, the lips moving can also be sufficient. The lips moving. Let's perform the prayer. These conditions we just covered. Is fine. Yeah. Descriptions. Minivan, one outstretched hands. The rest is pretty much straightforward. We may send a link to the group to check to show the practical motions of the prayer, because I'm unable to do it on screen here. And so we would have to, we can send a link for that. So those I think are the integrals of the Salah that are pretty much straightforward. What I would probably do, even Allah Ta'ala, next week, and then otherwise Ramadan will be starting, even Allah Ta'ala. May Allah honor us with and bless us with entering the month of Ramadan. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. What I will do is I will probably go over some additional points on Salah. Not mentioned here that I think are worth that perhaps need to be mentioned as well. Some masail related to Salah. And then we most likely will probably break for Ramadan. And then resume after Ramadan, inshallah. So I will continue with the part two. So we've just mainly read the text today. And then we'll look at some additional rulings and some masail, like what are permissible things to do? What happens when we, what are some rules for the prayers of someone who joins a congregation? Some basic rules about when you can leave the prayer, like break the prayer of someone who's sick, or the prayer of the traveler, Salat al-Tarawih, we'll be coming to Ramadan. So some small matters, some smaller matters and some larger matters. What I will do, I will then go through some of those. So now, having read the text, I would not have to read the text again. So next week I can make reference to what we've read today, and then go over some additional matters related to the Salah, not mentioned here, and some other masail that are quite important. So unless there's any questions on what we've covered, I'm going to stop here. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه So just to reiterate before we close, this I've read the section, the whole chapter on Salah today, mentioned only a few minor points of clarification. Next week I'll add some additional areas related to Salah, some rulings, some ahkam related to Salah, and then we will break for the month of Ramadan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and resume after Ramadan with the matters of salvation, I think. Yeah, the path to salvation. All right. If there's no questions, what we will do, we will wrap it up here, and then I'll see you all next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.